Hi, I'm Hannah Viva, and welcome to The Good Life. You may have been intrigued by mysticism, by the transcendental experiences of Christian Gnostics and Islamic Sufis. You may have even read up on heightened states of awareness, such as those experienced by Indian yogi Gopi Krishna, or the modern best-selling author Eckhart Tolle. Subud is a new spiritual movement founded in the 1920s and unaffiliated with any religion. It's grown rapidly and today has over 11,000 initiates in 86 countries worldwide, including 600 initiates in Australia. Its founder was from Indonesia, a man named Bapak Muhammad Suba Sumohade Widjojo. And as you can probably tell from that name, he was born a Muslim. However, one night, Bapak claims to have experienced a spiritual ascension, and that changed his life forever. In Subud, the key to leading the good life is the spiritual practice of Latihan. So what is Subud? And what is Latihan? I asked Raymond Van Summers and Alana Simpson to tell us more. Raymond was one of the very first Subud initiates and lived for many years with Bapak in Indonesia. Alana lives with her son and husband in Sydney. She also attends Subud and works as a Japanese translator.
Oh, my name is Alana Simpson and I have been a member of Subud since 1991.
My name is Raymond Van Summers. I've been in the Subud movement for 53 years.
Subud is an abbreviation of the Indonesian Susila Budi Dharma. What does that mean?
Susila is a Sanskrit word which means right living, and Budi means inner force or a part in ourselves which is connected with the higher force. Dharma is finding from our inner self a right way of living and to surrender to the will of God with sincerity and trust.
Is any of this associated with Buddhist or Hindu concepts of Dharma?
No, I think the fact is it is a Sanskrit word which probably has parallel meanings, but Subud doesn't have affiliations with other religions such as Buddhism. From our point of view, surrender to the one God is our meaning for it.
However, Subud sees itself as a spiritual movement, doesn't it, Alana? Because if you're a Subud initiate, you can still be a member of any other religion.
Yes, that's absolutely right. It's not a religion. It's really more a way of life that is deeply and profoundly spiritual.
I believe Latihan is the key practice to experiencing God or divinity within Subud. How significant is the Latihan?
Well, it's everything, really. The Latihan, Subud is the Latihan. The Latihan is a state of being. As a practice, it's just a 30-minute practice that people in Subud do. And so that is the exercise that strengthens your soul, opens it out.
What do you do when you practice Latihan practically?
Okay, well, here's a question that everybody in Subud actually fears and dreads and doesn't want to be asked because it is inexplicable, because every time it's different, it's such an intensely personal experience. It's indescribable. So when you use the words practical, it's like you can't filter the experience of the soul through a practical description.
So there's some kind of spontaneous element that occurs. I know you don't want to answer the question succinctly, but is there a spontaneity that occurs?
Obviously, you know, to be open is to be spontaneous. But by spontaneous, it doesn't mean that you are completely disinhibited. So you run around naked, or you behave in a way that is hurtful or harmful. So yes, spontaneity is something you look for, but it's not the control that other spiritual practices have, like meditation, for example, where there is a mantra, or there is a certain way of sitting, or a certain way of moving. There's many ways to God, many, many ways. Latihan's not an exclusive way. My sister, who happens to be a nun, a Catholic nun, recently in the Catholic tradition, there's this thing called discernment, which blew me away, because I always thought of the Catholic religion as being such a strict dogma. And she talked about this thing called discernment, which I think is actually quite similar to the Latihan, because apparently what they do is they sit in a church and then they try and discern what God is telling them. And they try and receive an answer. And so by being quiet in your soul, it's like discernment. And Latianus really is about trying to get quiet, trying to bring your soul into a state of quiet so that you can be open to guidance.
I might throw this to you now, Raymond. How would you describe the Latihan? What is it that you do in your spiritual practice?
It takes different forms for each person. The way the exercise is that men and women do it separately. They stand and close their eyes and follow the experience, which might bring them to be moving physically, walking around or shaking, or it may bring them to emotions of which they will feel cleansed by the experience of the life force. It may bring them to insights into something that is going on in their life that they need to know. But it's generally has a sequence which is, we all find the same, which is it starts off physical, and that's relaxing and moving around and so on. Then come sounds, which are random, but they may become singing, which are not necessarily hymns, or they're not necessarily religious. From those follow all the experiences which we need in our life to find our right way.
Well, I guess it's often verging on the impossible to plumb the depths of another person's spiritual experience. But what I'm getting here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that Latihan is a spontaneous spiritual exercise, and it's sometimes used to assuage doubts or look for guidance, and people look for guidance in many, many ways. I know that Taoists look for guidance in the I Ching, or as you mentioned, Alana, some Catholics seek it through the Ignatian method of discernment. Let's just move on to Bapak, though, the founder of Subud, because he was originally an Indonesian Muslim. How did he discover Latihan and form Subud as an organization?
He was a young man searching for purpose of life in a Islamic culture. He went from mystical teacher to mystical teacher, but in the end he found many teachings and many truths in Islam, but there was something about that he felt was lacking. And one night, after he'd been studying, he went out for a walk to clear his mind. And as he was coming back from the walk, he had an experience which seemed to him like a bright light had come and entered into him. And it felt for him like he was shaking. He hurried home, and there he felt this force was within him, and that life force was the beginning of his experience. People asked him questions and so on, because this brought certain insights into people's lives around him. So in the end he had to ask himself, is this just for me? I mean, this is what everybody's looking for, an inner force which can guide us when we need to make decisions about our lives. People around him were asking him questions about life and so on, and he didn't want to set himself up as a guru or teacher. He was able to reveal to them that his source of understanding was coming from this spiritual exercise that had come upon him. The way that it went to the next person was simply that they would ask for it, and the contact, as we call it, just moves from one person to another. Now, as more and more people around him were practicing this Latihan, he felt that it should be organized in a way that society could recognize, and so he set up an association which he gave the name Subud to.
And how did you get involved with Subud, Alana? Because initially, I believe, you're raised as a Catholic in Ireland.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I went to boarding school from the tender age of 7 until I left school, a Catholic boarding school. And the person who introduced me to Subud was my elder brother, who was the madcap of the family. He discovered drugs, sex and rock and roll before anybody else did. And he also discovered Subud, and he used to talk to me about Subud, and I used to think, oh my God, here we go, another 60s crazy trend. I'm not interested. And then suddenly, one day, I looked at him. I hadn't seen him for 5 years, and something leapt out from him. and into me. And the only way I could describe it was like this incredible awakening of my soul, because I thought, whatever this guy has, I want. I'm going to get. And I was living in Japan at the time, so I went back to Japan and I got open there.
Opened is an interesting word, because in Sylvia, people don't convert. People get opened. What does that mean, and how did it feel for you to get opened?
Yeah, open sounds a bit weird and culty, I know. And there's a lot of words that Sylvia used that are a bit weird and culty. But I guess the reason why we use the word opened is because the idea is that your soul opens up to itself. Of course, we don't convert because it's not religion. We don't take vows. There is no teaching. There is no guru. There is no priest. There's no rabbi. There's no imam. There's just the person themselves and, well, I call it God. Many people in Sylvia don't use the word God. We're a very God-averse culture. So your soul opens to God, the great life force, and then starts to develop and grow and change your life in subtle ways sometimes, or in hugely, enormously ground-shaking ways.
And is that what it was like for you, ground-shaking?
Well, actually, the first year was like falling madly in love, and it was euphoria. It was like, you know, when you're in love, everything, the colors take on a different shape, a different vibrancy, and everything's more intense. It was like that.
It seems to me that Subud is highly mystical, and Bapak would have been steeped in his native Javanese mysticism. Indeed, Java is really the homeland of many mystical schools, and it has a reputation of sorts for mass spiritual trances. Is Subud influenced by any of that? And I'll throw this question to you, Raymond, because I know you spent a lot of time in Indonesia.
Yes, Java, but in particular, has a long tradition of mystical teachings from the times that Islam first came to Indonesia. The particular mystical experience they have is called Kebatinan, which means an inner way. But that is a practice like we have in our Christian way. We have certain practices and dogmas. And so in Indonesia, this Kebatinan is a teaching or a way, whereas Subud is not. It's simply a receiving of the experience of the great life force.
That was Raymond Van Summers and Alana Simpson joining us for our first episode on Subud. Next week, we find out more about why Subud members are often entrepreneurs, what happened to the first Subud World Bank, and how this spiritual movement attracted an international following only a few years after its inception. I'm Hannah Viva, and thanks for joining me on The Good Life.